This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk with our Aussie correspondent interviewing Team Australia's Tom Slingsby in Denmark.
Yeah, we had the privilege of having Princess Mary, our Aussie Princess Mary, who's the Princess of Denmark, on board. And yeah, it was a privilege. It was great to have her on board. She was so kind, and I hope she enjoyed herself doing a race with us. If we've got Aussie Mary on board, we had to perform. She's our only princess, and we had to show that the Aussie sailors have got it.
And can you talk us through actually having her put behind the wheel and have a steer of the F50? What was that like?
Yeah, as we started the race, I started the race just to make sure we kept the boats safe distance apart. And then as soon as we started, I handed the wheel over. She was ripping along there at probably over 80 k's an hour on her first time sailing one of those boats, and steered the whole way to the finish line. And yeah, she was 0.5 of a second quicker than Frederick, so we got the win.
And I guess a bit of a disappointing day for us, just being pipped out of making the final. Can you talk us through what the conditions were like, and I guess what that deciding factor was against the French that took us out of the final?
Yeah, we were battling a bit today. It was really fast-paced, short races, short breaks in between. It all happened so quick. But yeah, we did not too badly in the first couple, and then the final race, we got off to a great start. And usually that's our sort of bread and butter, that final fleet race. We seem to always perform well, but we just we got caught up. We made a few mistakes and we got dragged into the pack. The French knew that they had to get a boat in between us, so they were really hunting us, trying to get penalties on us. Pretty dangerous at one point where they almost put us into a cardinal marker, which would have destroyed the boat, and I thought that was a bit sketchy. But yeah, well done to them. And unfortunately, they got past us, and then the New Zealanders really... they didn't want us in the final race either, so I think they were able to hunt us and slow us up a lot as well, and that was it. We tried to come back, but a couple of mistakes and a penalty, and yeah, unfortunately we missed out on countback. But fourth place is still a good result for the team and good for our overall points. We've still got the lead, but we're on a bit of a downward trend the last few events, and we do need to right that and stop right the ship and stop the bleeding, I guess, and go back to what we know we do well, which is sailing fast and staying out of trouble. We've just got to get that feeling back on the team.
Thank you, Tom. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk.
All right, thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's 9:40 on a Tuesday. You hear that music, you know it's time to check in with our friends from SailSportsTalk.com. And as you can see on the Twitch camera we have here in studio, we welcome back Patty Mangan. Patty, good to see you again.
Great to see you, Rick.
You got to talk into that mic right there.
Great to see you, Rick.
And we also bring in a guest, Peter Molitier, and he's here to talk about, just getting out on the open waves and having a lifestyle of cruising. What does that mean to you, Peter, when I say that?
I mean, basically my wife and I just sold everything and moved onto our sailboat, and we've left for Mexico with a plan to just keep going for as long as it's fun.
How long ago was that?
We moved onto the boat about 2 years ago. And we left San Francisco October 2nd of last year. So we've been going for almost a year now.
Was this your first shower in 2 years today?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
I can vouch for that. So,
So Patty, you got to get in front of the mic.
I met Peter at South Beach Yacht Club. Him and his wife Donna joined. And I think that one of the things that I think is important to share is that the community of sailing but is both on land and on water, in terms of, you know, the yacht clubs is on land, but this cruising lifestyle is a percentage of people on the planet that are enjoying, they've given up the condos, the houses, the goods, and they've made a commitment to traveling across seas and adjusting to a new lifestyle. So Peter and Donna, I met them. I've been inspired by them. So Peter, how long have you been planning this adventure?
Well, I mean, you know, planning is maybe a strong word. We've had the idea and the dream, and we've talked about it a lot. Probably, I guess, since we really started sailing in the Bay Area, although maybe not without like a really solid intention of actually doing it. You know, it was always kind of, oh, hey, this would be cool. You know, when my wife and I, when Donna and I got married, we went on a trip to Tortola, to the British Virgin Islands, and it was probably the best vacation we had ever had. A friend of hers invited us to share a bareboat charter on a Beneteau 50 with, you know, six other people. It was ourselves and six other people, so there were eight of us. And we spent a week. It was just off season. It was very warm. The water was bath water. It was too warm to sleep below decks, so we'd sleep on deck and wake up in the morning and just roll off the side of the boat into the water, swim up to the beach, you know, get a drink and lay on the beach in the sun for a while, swim back to the boat, that kind of thing. And we've always looked back to that trip as like one of the best vacations that we had ever had. And, you know, after we had lived in San Francisco for, I mean, it was probably about, you know, 15 or 16 years, we were crossing the bridge one day and, you know, we argue about who said what, but, you know, one of us looked at the other and said, you know, look at all these boats out here, you know, on the bay. It was a beautiful sunny day and sailboats everywhere. Why don't we ever get out sailing? And, you know, we just decided like, okay, let's take some lessons and actually start sailing on the bay more. So we did. And as we started sailing, we had this crazy idea of, you know, why not go to Sardinia for our 20th wedding anniversary? You know, my family's Italian and it was like, you know, we'll go to Italy and spend a couple of weeks on a sailboat. So, you know, from that point, it was just a lot of taking lessons and chartering and just getting out on the water to practice. And it was a very short timeline. You know, it was only, I think, like 3 years or something that we managed to get to the point where, you know, we would be accepted to you know, charter our own boat. So we did that, and then, you know, we just enjoyed sailing on the bay and, you know, we talked about it, but, you know, not really with the intention of actually doing it. We looked at a lot of boats and, you know, we'd always go out looking at boats saying like, oh, we're going to go not buy a boat today. But then, you know, eventually, of course, we ended up buying a boat and I guess, you know, with the pandemic and people working remotely more, you know, I've always enjoyed being face to face with people and working closely to people. And then we also had an issue where, you know, Donna's sister-in-law died of COVID, and that kind of brought home, you know, life is short and, you know, you don't necessarily get the chance to do things later that you think, oh, maybe one day we'll do this. So, you know, with that as a prompt, we said, you know what, let's just do it. You know, there's no better time. And we decided to go.
That's Peter Malatieri, who's with us now. Once you started going out, was it ports of call that were very populated with regular boats, or did you go out to tropical islands where it was sort of lawless and you were on your own?
So once we left, you know, we planned to go down to Mexico. You know, we had the decision to either cross the Pacific. You know, we live in San Francisco, or I guess we lived in San Francisco, and we had the choice of going out across the Pacific, either Hawaii or the South Pacific Islands. But that was really limited by COVID. A lot of countries closed their borders at the time, and we have a lot of family on the East Coast. My parents, and especially Donna's mother, are getting a lot older now. And we thought, you know, it would be good to stay kind of closer to family in case we needed to head back. So we decided to head down the Pacific coast of the U.S. and into Mexico with the idea of eventually hitting Panama and into the Caribbean. So, you know, from San Francisco to San Diego, it's, of course, California. It's super populated. There are lots of boats around. When we when we left San Diego to head down to Cabo San Lucas, we left with the Baja Haha, which is a rally for cruisers. And we left with 140 other boats to sail down to Cabo, which it sounds like a lot of boats, but, you know, within a couple of hours, you're out on the ocean and you can't see more than maybe one other boat, you know. So it certainly doesn't feel like you've got a lot of boats around. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on the Haha, we all stopped together in the same ports, and then you have all these boats on top of one another. But once we left Cabo and started heading north again into the Sea of Cortez, you know, there were many fewer boats that were going in that direction, and there are a lot more anchorages, so people get spread out, and you do spend a lot of time in pretty remote places, you know, without really anyone else around. So you kind of get a balance of both. Yeah.
By the way, did you go through the Panama Canal, and how much does it cost to go through the Panama Canal?
No, we're still in the Sea of Cortez right now. Okay. You know, some things happened that slowed our roll a little bit.
Do you know how much it costs to go through?
Yeah, it's fairly expensive. It's about $2,500 roughly.
Okay.
Some other fees and things, but yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Now, I know that one of the things that slowed you down, you were concerned about your family, but it was actually Donna that ended up having a scare.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, I can talk about that a little bit. So, you know, we were very focused on trying to get down into the Sea of Cortez to kind of start this, like, cruising thing. Because the water was calm, there were a lot of anchorages, and just that fantasy of spending time on the water and snorkeling and just doing all of the things that you think of, you know, sitting on a sailboat in a beautiful anchorage. So we were very focused. You know, the Haha is a very intense, direct sail. You know, you're sailing day and night for days on end to get down to Cabo. So we were very focused and driven until we got to Cabo. Once you get to Cabo, you have to head around the corner. There are two anchorages that get you around up into the Sea of Cortez, and it's about a day to each one. You go up to Frailes and then a place called Los Muertos. And we got to
Muertos.
That's
not a good name, by the way.
It's really not, no. And the history behind it is pretty scary, too. But,
yes.
You know, we got up there, and we're in this bay, and, you know, we got a phone call. We didn't even think we had cell coverage, and mostly we didn't, but somehow this one call gets through. And, you know, Donna had a mammogram in San Diego on the way down, trying to just take care of all the routine kind of healthcare stuff that you do. And, you know, this woman from UC San Diego called, and with that really overly solicitous kind of like, now don't be afraid, don't be scared of what I'm about to tell you. Mm. Are you sitting down? You know, that kind of manner, you know, told her that they were concerned about her last mammogram and they wanted to come in and have her repeat it so that they could rule some things out. So that, of course, you know, had exactly the opposite effect of what the caller had really intended. And, you know, it totally changed our trip because from that point we really needed to stay within range of, like, the network so that we could call doctors and do some scheduling and things like that. So long story short, she ended up, you know, having a biopsy and having a benign mass removed. But,
that's good.
It was all kind of wrapped up by, I guess, the end of February, early March, something like that. But that was a big chunk of our cruising season, and we had really intended to have been sailing south along the coast during that period, and we ended up just staying around a place called Puerto Escondido because, you know, it was relatively inexpensive compared to a lot of the other places, and we had the kind of access that we needed.
It's very interesting. Before we let you go, tell us a little bit more about your blog, Enchanted Journey.
Oh, yeah. It's just a way for us to keep in touch with family and friends. You know, we've been trying to just put up some text and images describing, like, what we're going through, what we're seeing, what's been exciting to us, and what we think folks would be interested in reading. So, yeah.
Last question for you. What's the one thing that you miss the most? And I know it's not mowing the lawn, but what would it be for you?
Definitely friends. You know, we have a lot of really, really solid friendships, and you know, we do have had a lot of people come down and visit us, but you know, everyone doesn't have that opportunity. So you know, we're actually kind of through into San Francisco right now to be able to come back and maintain some of those friendships and spend some time with the people we love.
It's Peter Malatieri. Thanks for coming in and sharing your story with us. Very interesting.
Thanks.
And Patty Mangan as well. Always great to see you.
Thank you, Rick.
And, of course, go to salesporttalk.com. Once again, salesporttalk.com for more information. And check out the blog started back in October of last year by Peter and his wife Donna at Enchanted Journey. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come on back on Sports Byline.